So, what an incredible story, isn't it? The story of that mountaintop experience for Peter, James, and John. I wonder whether you know where that day-to-day expression we use about having a mountaintop experience comes from. It is actually drawn from the Bible, from the various examples there are of those special encounters between man and God. It perhaps has become rather secularized nowadays, but as Christians, we can recall mountaintop experiences as those places where God, for example, met with Abraham on Mount Moriah, Moses on Mount Sinai, Elijah on Mount Horeb, and Peter, James, and John on Mount Hermon. And when Peter, James, and John were called by Jesus to go with him, they did not know what to expect, but they came to see God in a new way. And they were prepared, being prepared for what was to come, which was the really tough times that the disciples were going to have to face. They were being prepared for the return to the valley, because, of course, we cannot live up on the mountaintop forever. And what we need to do when we have had a mountaintop experience is to soak in the memory of what God has revealed, and that will remind us of what he has called us to purpose in the valley. And by understanding that experience, we know what we are called next to do. But to be prepared, we also have to allow us to be changed. And those changes, those experiences occur anywhere. They might occur in your home, as you are quietly praying. They might occur in a church worship service, or perhaps walking or talking. And one example is of a young boy in Johannesburg, a young black boy who went to the hospital where his mother was a cleaner. He went to accompany her, and he was approached by a tall white man who spoke to his mother. And this young boy had never seen a white person speak to a black person before, and certainly not to his mother. That white man, Trevor Huddleston, some of you may know his name, had been appalled at the apartheid system and went to work against it. The young boy was Desmond Tutu, who decided to find out about this God that Trevor Huddleston spoke about and who had transformed his life. The rest, as we say, is history. And we know that Desmond Tutu became a great leader for God. And Trevor Huddleston had been changed. And by his being changed, he changed young Desmond's life, who was beginning to then see the world through God's eyes. Another literal mountaintop experience, perhaps, was that of Edmund Hillary, who in 1953 conquered Everest with Sherpa Tenzing. And as a consequence of Edmund Hillary's mountaintop experience, his life was changed and he went to work with the Sherpa people, building schools and hospitals. We don't know what his encounter with God might have been on Everest, but it transformed his life. Or a more local experience of mine was in a church service. I suddenly found myself weeping as I felt the complete enveloping by God's presence. I was lifted up on the mountaintop with him. The context of our reading this morning follows on from a week before, when Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus had asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Son of the living God." Jesus then went on to warn the disciples of his forthcoming suffering and death. And then he had to rebuke Peter, who said, "No, this will not happen to you." Jesus said, "It has to happen. Get behind me, Satan." And then just before they went up the mountain, Jesus promised that some who were with him would see the Son of Man in his glory. And here is one artist's impression of what that might have been. We just, of course, do not know. But there is Jesus with Moses and Elijah, shining in glory, and the three disciples are cowering under that glory. They saw the kingdom of God coming with power. And perhaps they could begin to understand now that Jesus is that meeting point between heaven and earth. And his appearance was changed. The Greek word is metamorpho, and we know it is metamorphosis in English. It means change, transfigure, transform, to reveal his glory. And when we think about that shining, we might recall Moses with his face shining after he'd come down from the mountain, having spoken with God. And that is alluded to in our reading from 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about the gospel being veiled, and how Jesus has helped come to unveil our understanding. And what we have here on the Mount of Transfiguration is a picture of the old covenant of the commandments being superposed by the new covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the law as represented by Moses and the prophets as represented by Elijah. If after the service you look back at the Old Testament reading this morning, you'll see it's the story of Elijah's translation into heaven at the end of his earthly time. He didn't die, and the understanding of the Jewish people was that Elijah would return at the end of the age. And this is why John the Baptist and Jesus were often thought of as being personifications of Elijah. And Jesus is showing the continuity of that covenant, that move from the old to the new, with the emphasis that we no longer are subject to the old law, but are subject to the law of grace in Jesus Christ. So just as Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, so also Peter, James, and John were changed. They had glimpsed the glory of God. And once we've glimpsed the glory of God, we cannot remain the same. Whilst clearly Peter, in that lovely way of his, was demonstrably human, saying, well, let's build three booths to so that you can stay, we can stay on this mountain forever with you. He didn't know what to say, neither, I'm sure, would we. But what both Peter and John did in their writings was to affirm that this was a reality. In Peter's second letter, he says, we have not followed cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. And similarly, John says, the word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a father's only son. And just as Peter, James, and John were changed, we too can change. And that spiritual change that we can look forward to comes as we reflect upon that image of the veiling of Moses when he had spoken with God. And earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And In Romans, Paul also writes, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God. So when we have had that especial sense of the presence of God, that epiphany, that revelation to us of God, there are many things that we can explore. We are called perhaps to challenge our earlier certainties, to challenge the expectations for our lives, because God may have a new path for us, to give us the means to confront the difficult issues and not to bury them, but to face up to them, to be honest about our faith and our doubt. And as David said to us last week and reminds us in the notices today, that if you want to talk about these things, then do come together, talk to David, phone him up or email him, so that several of us might meet together to talk about the spiritual journey that we are on. Could there be more, he asks, to our spiritual life? Well, then the answer has to be yes. So as we reflect on this, as we look at that spiritual challenge of where we are at this time in the Christian calendar coming up to Lent, we can take a renewed perspective on our worldview of our place in God's plan. As we share together Psalm 23, we might be thinking about how we have all walked over this last year in a dark valley, and yet we can know that he is with us. And indeed, he may be equipping us to go out to help others through that dark and difficult walk, to comfort, to counsel, to advocate, and support. So the challenge that we have as we enter this season of Lent is that it is a time, perhaps, to take up something different, to look ahead, to prepare for life after COVID. Yes, there is that time. It will happen. And we can be very thankful for the efficacy of the vaccines that a number of us now have received. And we look forward to that being spread throughout the population. So while we are restricted now in what we can do, we perhaps can be thinking ahead to what God is calling us to be doing as we are able to meet and congregate one with another, to meet with our neighbours, family and friends again. And as we question the basis perhaps of our faith as we face these difficult times, are we prepared to be changed, to be transformed, and indeed to be fleetingly transfigured? We are called to come, see, and listen. God said from the cloud to the disciples, this is my son, the beloved, listen to him. And I'm sure that it recalls an echo of Jesus' baptism when the Spirit descended. And again, the voice said, this is my son. And during this period of Lent, it's an opportunity to examine our motivation and our action. Who am I? Am I being who God has made me to be? And perhaps ways in which we can do this are through daily reflections, reading of God's word, taking a little more time in our prayer. If you haven't yet signed up to come and see on the Diocesan website, I do encourage you, wherever you are in your Christian faith, whether you are seeking to understand what faith is about or whether you have been traveling this road for many years, it's always good to reconsider what God is saying to us. And from Ash Wednesday, the diocese will send out by email to those who can access that a daily reflection using the Apostles' Creed to help bring us back to the center of our faith, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. So as we balance the exaltation of the Transfiguration with the wilderness of Lent, Let us pray that he's going to give us renewed resources to serve and witness to him. Our relationship with God does not stand still. It is dynamic. He is calling us to move with him and for him. And in that continual change, we can grow in faith and in our relationship with God. So, as we reflect on this current time of pandemic as being one of sharing our wandering together in the wilderness, it's good to share when we have seen perhaps even the small glimpses of God's glory. And I like to think even in a flat field, a molehill seems like a mountain. So what might be seem small to you may be an account of God's grace that can really help somebody else to come closer to him. So I encourage us all to share our experience with those around us where we can, whether it's on the phone, whether it's by email, whether it's by conversations, distance conversations over the garden fence. Let us reflect upon God's glory and bring that light into the darkness of so many. To share our glimpses of God's glory as we see it in nature, in creation, and indeed in one another. So Lent is a time of preparation to look ahead at a different future as the days lengthen, to come outside ourselves, to reach out to others, and particularly to, as we look forward to coming together to celebrate the joy of fellowship in worship at Christ's victory at the cross. We will be celebrating at Easter the hope of life and the resurrection from death. And Lent is a time of expectation, a time to meet with God, a time of change, to be changed by him deep within the heart of our being. I'm going to close with the traditional collect prayer for this Sunday next before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Amen.